The annual church meeting is like a milestone in the history of the church. It is a time to pause and to take stock, and that is what we have been doing here tonight. It is a time to look back over the year that has gone by, and to look and to acknowledge the progress that has been made by the grace of God, and to acknowledge before God His mercy and His favour to you. The annual meeting, of course, is not only a time for looking back, but it is a time also for looking forward with anticipation. And again, this has been mentioned regarding the anticipation of God's blessing and the plans for the days that lie ahead. It is also, I feel, a time to look inwards. It is a time when we can stop ourselves personally, and we can look at where we stand personally with the Lord, and we can examine ourselves and see where we stand in relation to where we were this time last year. It's a time how we are spiritually, and also to consider how we can go forward with the Lord and go forward in the things of God and go forward into the blessing of God. Now, these verses that we have been reading together here from James, the chapter 1, I feel that they enable us to do that very thing. These verses have as their content the subject of the Word of God. And in the Word of God here we find that it is likened to a looking glass, to a mirror. In the verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way." And the picture here of the Word of God is likened to a looking glass, to a mirror, where by the man will come to the mirror, or the lady will come to the mirror. Perhaps that is more apt when you look at some of us fellows and going into the church, I suppose, many a time, aye, and into the pulpit too, with the hair hardly combed, you would say, well, those fellows aren't used to looking into mirrors that often. But we have the picture here before us, we can easily grasp it, of a man looking into the mirror, and he can see whatever blemishes there might be upon his face, and he can see there what he can do in order to improve himself. And that is the picture here that is given to us concerning the Word of God, the benefit of the Word of God to the believer. I want to look at the verse 25 in particular there. And I want to consider this verse in the light of it being the Word of God. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The subject here is God's Word. And very quickly tonight, I want to have before us just a few thoughts that are found here on the very surface of the text. I would say that we have here the description of the Word of God. We see it here, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." The Word of God is described here as being law. It is described as being law. Now, there is no doubt that the reference here will well bear the matter of the law of God as far as the opening books of the Old Testament are concerned, the Torah. It also implies the commandments of God as the law of God, because in the chapter 2 we find that a number of the commandments are specified. But the matter that I would have here in mind and we would want to emphasize is that the Word of God is law. It is law. If we go right away to the beginning of the Bible, and if we go back there to the book of Genesis and to the first time that the term law is to be found in the Bible, there is something interesting about it that God lays emphasis upon in the chapter 26 of Genesis. In the first five, the chapter 26 of Genesis and the first five, let me read it to you. "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. And all of these terms will bear the meaning of God's word. But the emphasis is laid here upon the fact that they are God's. And that is the description that is given here. My voice, my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. And God is laying the emphasis here. The very first time the law is mentioned, God is laying the emphasis here upon the fact that it is God's law. And it brings us to the fact of authority. That the Word of God, as we have it in our hands tonight and as we have it before us, that the Word of God, the Bible, that it has the authority of God. It is God's Word. Now, I feel that to a large measure that Christendom has lost that sense of the authority of God in the Word of God. So that it is possible for people to read the Word of God and to hear the Word of God preached and yet not receive it with the authority of God. It is possible for some, I'm not saying all at all, but it is possible for some professing Christians to hear the Word of God preached or to read it themselves. And because it doesn't fit in with our thinking, with our own subjective notions, because it doesn't fit in with our style of living, then they reject that particular part of the Word of God. They reject that particular teaching. They reject that particular command, whatever it would be. It doesn't fit in with their lifestyle. It doesn't fit in with the things they do or the places they go. And so they refuse it. They reject it. They rebel against it. It is as if it is coming to them as the word of a mere man. But the Bible today speaks to us with the authority of God. It is God's word. And right from the book of Genesis, God lays the emphasis upon this fact so that we might understand that the word of God comes to us, whether it is preached or whether it is through our own daily reading, that the word of God comes to us as law. It is not something that we can react to in some sort of an optional fashion. We can take it or we can leave it. It is not something that we can please ourselves about. That every word of God is the word of God and is coming to us with the authority of the word of God, so that no matter what we hear preached from the pulpit, when it is coming from the word of God, it is to be received as that. And I feel that to a large degree today, there is a rejection and a rebellion against the authority of the Word of God. It is no longer regarded by so many as the law of God, that it is the rule of conduct for man that has been specified by the Lord Himself. It has divine authority. You will notice also it says there, it is the perfect law. It is the perfect law. It is perfectly suited to man. It is exactly what man needs. It shows to man who and what God is. It shows to man what God requires. It shows to man his own heart, his sin, his unworthiness. It shows to man the way of salvation and all that salvation is. It is perfectly suited to our needs. Reference is made here in these verses. In the verse 21, for example, that the word of God, it is able to save your soul. We read right throughout the scripture concerning this same fact, that the word of God is perfectly suited to a sinner because it shows to the sinner the plan of God's salvation, that the gospel, the scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. People, it is perfectly suited to us. It is the perfect law also in that there is no flaw in the Word of God. There are no mistakes in the Word of God. That everything that we can read in the Scriptures is absolutely reliable, no matter what it is.
that we read over there in the gospel concerning the word of God, that the word of God, thy word is truth. Here, people, is something that is perfect. The word of God, the Bible that we have today, it is that which is perfect. Not only is it perfect because it is exactly and perfectly suited to our needs, not only because it is perfect in the sense that there are no mistakes in it, but it is perfect in the sense that it is complete. And the literal meaning of the word that is used here is that word complete. It is sufficient. Nothing needs to be added to the word of God, and nothing is to be taken away from the word of God. Over there at the beginning, in Genesis the chapter 4, in Deuteronomy the chapter 4, the first 2, we read, "Ye shall not add on to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." And we find that throughout the scripture, similar words are used in Deuteronomy 12 and 32, in Proverbs 30 and the first 6, in Revelation 22, as we come to the end of the Bible, so that from the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, in the end of the Bible, the word of God is set before us as being complete. Nothing needs to be added to it. It is absolutely sufficient for us. God's word, people, is the sacred word of God. You'll see again that the description is given there. It is the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty. Do you see, man in his sin, his natural state, is in bondage. Under the control and under the influence of the devil, belonging to the devil, held captive by the devil. But the scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. We read that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And in believing the word of God and trusting Christ, we are brought into that perfect liberty. We have there John 8 in the verse 36, "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." The man, the woman, the young person who comes as a sinner in by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and throws themselves upon the Lord for salvation in obedience to the call of the gospel, that man is given perfect liberty. He's made absolutely free from the captivity of the devil. Oh, dear people, obedience to God's law is liberty from the devil. David over there in the Psalm 119, in the first 45, he says, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." I will walk at liberty. It is through seeking the precepts of God's word, it is through seeking the teachings of the law of God, that we can walk at liberty. We are freed from the captivity of the devil. And so, people, we should esteem God's word. It is perfect. It is with authority, the authority of God, and it gives us perfect liberty. And so we have the description given to us of the word of God. We can see the believer's relationship to the word in this verse. "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," they look into it. We are to look into the word of God. We're not to simply look upon the law as a passerby would simply look at an object that is in his path. But rather, we are to look into it. We are to give a thoughtful study to it. The idea here is a careful consideration of it. We're to look into it, not simply a glance at the word of God. We're to look into the heart of it. Around Christmas time or before Christmas time there, we had a wee children's social in the church, and the children, they had something to eat at it, and there was a fair bit of noise and running about, and some of the parents were in, and some parents that I wasn't familiar with, but
At the back of the church, there was a number of ladies and men sitting. But when everyone was away home, one of the young ladies in the church said to me, "There's a handbag," was sitting just at the back of the church hall. And I said, asked whose it would be, and no one knew who would own the handbag. And a couple of the other ladies then gathered, and they were wondering what they should do. And one of them said, "Well, perhaps we should open the handbag and look into it and see if we can find out who owns it, and then we can return it." And I was a bit hesitant. I don't like opening handbags and looking into it, because if I did that at home, maybe the wife would hit me a bat in the ear in case she was thinking I was searching her bag or looking for money or something. But anyway, I didn't like... But one of the ladies said, "Well, there's a few of us here, and if we just open the bag and look in, maybe there's something that would let us know without really searching the bag." And that's what the lady did, and there was a license in the bag, and she opened it up, and she found out, we found out from the license who the lady was and where she lived, and we were able to return the handbag to her, and the lady was very grateful. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, if we had just looked at the handbag, we would never have known who owned the handbag. If we had glanced at it and left it there and walked on, it was only when we opened it and looked into it, we were able to be informed. We were able to do the right thing. And people, it is the same with the Word of God. There needs to be a looking into the Word of God, a thoughtful study of it, a careful consideration of it. Bible commentators are agreed that the term implies the thought of stooping down and looking into it. Over there in 1 Peter, in the chapter 1, the verse 12 there, we have the angels looking into the things of God. At the end of the verse 12 of 1 Peter 1, we see there which things the angels desire to look into. It's the same word that is used there. And it implies a careful examination of it. That the angels are not only content to hear the things of God, to hear the preaching of the Word of God, as it were. Not only to hear of God's salvation, but they have a desire, if you like, to stoop down and to really examine it, to give it a careful examination. It's like someone saying to you, "Well, here is something I want to ask your opinion on." And they tell you what it is. And you may say to them, "Well, let me look into it." In other words, you're saying, "Let me give it some consideration and then I will talk to you about it." And the idea that is used here for the believer in the Word of God is that we are to really look into the Word. There's to be a meditation, there's to be an examination of it. People, we are not to be superficial hearers. Over there in the Psalm 69, the psalmist said, "I will meditate in thy precepts." I will meditate in thy precepts. I will turn them over in my mind. I will chew them over. There is a similar word that is used for the cow chewing its cud. It is the picture of the cow as it eats the grass, and then it lies down and it chews over what it has already been eating to get the very best out of it. And that is the similar picture that is presented to us in the scriptures for the child of God and the Word of God. We find in the opening psalm there, in the second verse, it is speaking of the blessed man. And it says, "In his law doth he meditate day and night." In his law does he meditate day and night. Again in the Psalm 119, we read in the verse 23, "Thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." The term here, people, is that which gives a careful consideration to the Word of God. That's what is meaning here. That's what the apostle is speaking about here. That we should look into it. Oh, how often David describes it to us. He says in that Psalm 119, I laid them before me. That's the precepts of God. I laid them before me. I have longed after them, that I might learn them. I meditate on them. I have sought thy precepts. And then, people, we are to continue in the precepts of God. We're to continue in the Word of God. Not in the first 24, not as the man that looks at himself, beholdeth himself, and goeth his way. We are to continue in the Word of God. David, in that Psalm 119 again, the first 117, says, I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. I will have respect, and the word respect there is also translated look. I will look unto thy statutes continually. Again in the Psalm 40 in the verse 8, thy law is within my heart. We are to be people of God's word. God's people ought to be people who meditate on the word of God and who continue in the word of God. And then, of course, from this verse we find that we are to do the word. We are not to be a forgetful hearer. There are some who hear the preaching, and there it ends. They are hearers only. They really don't do what they hear they should do. The sermon is preached, and sometimes, not always, but sometimes the sermon is preached, and the man and the woman, they may be a forgetful hearer. Maybe they go home and they forget to put into practice what the Lord has been teaching them to do. Years ago in Scotland, there was a man came home from the morning service. He was coming home. He was a little bit early. When he came home earlier than usual, his wife said to him, Donald, is the sermon all done? And he responded and said, Dear, no, no, it is all said, but it has not begun to be done. And sometimes, people, we forget to begin to do the sermon. Or we forget to do what we have read in the Word of God. Sometimes the Word just runs through us like water through a sieve, never to be remembered again, perhaps until Judgment Day. Superficial hearers, forgetful hearers, hasty hearers, they leave the Word of God. People, here is our relationship with the Word of God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And oh, that we might have that relationship with the Word of God continually. And then finally, we have the believer's blessedness from the Word of God. This man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed in his deed. The blessing of doing what we hear in the Word. Maybe there's an unsaved man or woman or young person in the meeting tonight, and you hear the invitation to come to Christ, to repent of sin and to throw yourself in the Lord for salvation. You hear the Savior's call in the gospel continually, week after week, as you sit under the Word of God. But it will profit you nothing if you don't obey the Word. You've heard it many times, I'm sure, and yet, when is it going to be done? Oh, there is blessing in the forgiveness of sin. Blessed is the man that hath his sin forgiven, or has his sin covered, over there in the Psalm 32. But dear people, you must repent and trust in Christ, or you will never know the blessing. There is the blessing in the doing of the thing. And for the unsaved one, there is the blessing of God's forgiveness and God's salvation when you respond and do what the Lord would have you to do. And when Jesus says to you, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, that is what he wants you to do. Come unto him. Simply, as a sinner, coming by faith to Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ forgiving you for your sin. And believer, there is a word here also for us. There is blessing when we do the word of God. In the end of the scriptures over in Revelation 22, the verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments. There is obedience in blessing. You look into that verse there, you'll see that the blessing is not said to be after the deed, although there is blessing after we do the deed for the Lord. But the blessing is said to be in the doing of it. Look at it. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed while doing it. Blessed not for the doing of it, but he is blessed by God while he does it. If you fill your life with doing what the word of God says, then your life is filled with the blessing of the Lord. The opposite is true if you go to the chapter 4 and the verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. A man that hears the word, whether preached or whether read, but the man who hears the word and knows what he ought to do and doesn't do it, to that man it is sin. That man knows he has sinned against God. But oh, the person who hears the word and does the word, he is a doer of the word, then that man is blessed indeed, that man. Look at the reading of it there. This man shall be blessed in his deed. This man. It is as if the Holy Spirit is using a pointer. That the Spirit of God would be pointing his finger and he would look at the man and point to the man who is obeying the word of God, and he says, this man. As if he is singling out a man here, a man there, a woman there. Those who obey the word of God, and he puts the emphasis. He doesn't say all men are blessed of God. He is saying here, this man, he is identifying here the man that is blessed of God. He is the man who does the word of God. Having heard the word of God, he is doing the word of God. My friend, are you the blessed man? Are you the blessed woman? Are you the blessed young person? Here's God's word. Here is his law. Oh, that we might hear it, that we might consider it, that we might continue in the meditation of the word of God, and that we might be those who do the word of God and know the blessing of the Lord upon us in the year that lies ahead, if it should be his mind to spare us and his mind to tarry. Oh, that God would write these things upon us and give us grace. Give us his grace that we would be that person who in this year that lies ahead would be the blessed man. So that when we come back again to another annual meeting, if it should be the mind of God in the year to come, that you will say, the Lord has blessed me indeed this year. I haven't missed out on the blessing. Oh, the Lord has done me good. The Lord has showed me myself, and the Lord has given me his grace, and the Lord has spoken to me in his word, and the Lord has helped me to do the word of God, and I'm blessed indeed. I trust, people, that the Lord will write this wee word on our heart, and that for his own glory's sake he will do us good and use us in the days that lie ahead and the days to come. The Lord bless you.